Business is tough for computer makers. Demand in the United States has dropped. U.S. manufacturers want to sell more computers overseas, but when it comes to their fastest products, they can't. Export controls treat some high-tech products the same as dangerous weapons. Industry says that approach no longer makes sense and is lobbying to pass a new law that would drop such trade barriers. Those concerned about the spread of dangerous weapons say now is the wrong time to ease high-tech exports. NPR's Larry Abramson reports.
There's a paradox in the way people view the impact of technology on the spread of weapons. Some say powerful computers are now so common, there's no reason to treat them as exotic and dangerous. Current policy blocks the export of the fastest computers to rogue nations like Sudan and Iran, and restricts exports to countries like China and Russia. Opponents of export controls in the computer industry say that foreign governments can easily get around these rules and get what they want on the black market or through third countries. But Dan Hoytish of Unisys says U.S. industry suffers huge delays as it waits to license its best products.
We're suggesting that since computing power is not controllable, to have controls based on computer performance no longer makes sense.
The paradox is that people who worry about proliferation use this same logic to support strong limits on technology exports. They say computers are common. That's why the fastest devices must be restricted to keep rogue nations from misusing American technology. Gary Mulholland of the Wisconsin Project on Nuclear Arms Control says U.S. policy should make it as difficult as possible for foreign governments to misuse American products.
Imagine you are in China and you have a factory or a laboratory that is designing very high technology products. You want to buy the best computer system you can buy, and you also need service, and you need training, and you need manuals, and you need somebody to come and fix it if it breaks. If you smuggle it in, it simply is not a substitute.
Mulholland points to recent revelations about Chinese espionage at U.S. weapons plants and to continuing nuclear weapons programs in Pakistan and India. He concedes that rogue nations may be able to circumvent export controls, but he says these barriers remain a key tool for slowing proliferation.
What you get with export controls is you slow people down, you make it more expensive, you make it more difficult, and sometimes at least the delay is enough.
Mulholland has support from Senator Fred Thompson, who has helped to block any changes. The Tennessee Republican says it's impossible to foresee just what might happen if we drop current controls.
We live in a more dangerous world. We're talking about a missile defense. We're talking about rogue nations. We know that China and Russia are supplying rogue nations with nuclear technology. Well, at the same time, we're talking about decontrolling one of the most sensitive things that can be used for nuclear computer simulation, for nuclear tests, and that sort of thing.
Supporters of the change say current controls rely on an outmoded standard. That standard limits exports based on the speed of each device, how many operations it can do in a second. Dan Lewis of the Center for Strategic and International Studies looked at the issue, and he found that it's fairly easy for foreign governments and terrorists to get around this rule.
You can hook up 20, 30, 100, 1,000 PCs or microprocessors and get supercomputing performance. We found a number of places outside the U.S. where people have been able to build supercomputers with as fast or faster than anything you can buy on the market today.
Opponents of the controls say they don't want to drop all export barriers. Exports to so-called rogue nations and to certain people would still be prohibited. They're focusing on getting rid of the speed limit approach to technology. Dan Hoytish of Unisys says that's because this approach could really hurt the sale of products that use Intel's fastest ever microchip.
We're on the verge of introducing and using the new Itanium chip, which is on 3, 4, 5 times faster than existing processors. We will go from a situation where not many machines require licenses today to a situation where most of the new products will require licenses.
Computer makers were hoping to get legislation passed earlier this year, but the tensions that followed the capture of a U.S. spy plane by China helped sour the atmosphere. Now, the downturn in the technology sector could give new energy to this effort to overcome the tension between trade and national security. Larry Abramson, NPR News, Washington.